As we just heard in Jason's story, Defense Secretary wants to rethink how the U.S. spends its defense dollars. Some say there will have to be cuts if Congress is serious about controlling spending. Even some from the Tea Party have called for shrinking the military budget. But Princeton University professor Julian Zelizer says that there are a couple of reasons that's unlikely to happen.
The first is most Republicans have invested too much in a hawkish posture toward national security and a defense of a high military budget to allow a handful of Tea Partiers to really undercut that position. So the Tea Party Republicans really have to go against what the Republican Party has been about, not since 2001, but really since the 1950s.
But what about going up against the Democrats, not just the Tea Partiers?
Yeah, second is that members of both parties support the military budget, not just because of military policy, but economic policy. This is a form of spending that's very important in districts throughout the country. And every time there's an effort to close bases, to cut weapons system, it comes into really strong opposition because so many legislators in both parties are invested in the status quo budget. So they're not going to find a lot of supporters beyond rhetoric when they make these proposals.
Well, at the same time, you know, we have Admiral Mike Mullen, who's the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, saying our national debt is our biggest national security threat. History shows that every nation eventually adopts the foreign policy it can afford. Taking defense spending off the table is indefensible. I mean, what he's saying is if you're going to make defense spending a sacred cow, then we are hamstrung in terms of what we can do in foreign policy, or at least our budget will dictate what we do in foreign policy. Is that point lost on Congress?
I think so. Other secretaries of defense have faced the same problem, from Robert McNamara in the 1960s through Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, who wanted to trim and make the budget more efficient and run into the fact that legislators depend on this money, and so do the voters who live in their districts.
And we're seeing that now with Robert Gates, who wants to end production of the F-22.
Exactly. And the trouble Gates is having is predictable. I mean, and there's always this, you know, convergence. One of the big supporters of defense spending in the Democratic Party in the 70s and 80s was this guy, Senator Scoop Jackson, who was from Washington. And Boeing, the company that produced a lot of these weapons, was in his state. He was known as the senator from Boeing. And I think that's what the budget cutters continue to face whenever they go after this money.
So if Congress is that worried about what its constituents will think about cutting a particular fighter plane, for instance, does that mean that in setting the budget or keeping the budget the same, that it's formulating military strategy?
It does, yes. I mean, to a certain extent. And this has been an old problem and an old criticism of how we go about our defense business. A lot of our strategy in terms of what weapons we have are not picked because of sound, rational decisions over what the military needs. It's based on what Congress wants for very different reasons. So I do think this is a problem we've had in our military strategy for decades, and it leads us to direct spending to certain kinds of weapons that might not really be the best use for the country.
Well, one of the different things this time around, and we started off talking about the Tea Partiers, I'm curious about, since Tea Partiers view any foreign entanglement with some skepticism, what difference do you think they will indeed make in Congress this time around?
I'm not convinced that's the area they'll have the biggest impact. They're still small in numbers, and they lost a lot of races in this midterm election. So their impact was more in energizing voters and shaping the media strategy and in certain victories. But clearly, I don't think they've taken over the Republican Party. So initially, my guess is they're going to yell and scream for certain kinds of decisions. I doubt all of a sudden we're going to have a new isolationism as a result of the Tea Party. I doubt we're going to have really dramatic cuts in the federal government. I think they're going to be kind of a gadfly for the Republican Party, keeping pressure on them to at least try to cut spending. But given the composition of Congress, I just don't think the Tea Party will have as much of an effect as they're hoping for.
Well, since Tea Partiers and wider members of the Republican Party are complaining about the ballooning budget, I want you to tell us how you weave in one particular factor of President Obama's budget. The administration did what the Bush administration had not done, and it has put into the current federal budget the cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. That has not been visible within the entire federal spending plan until now. So by doing that, how did President Obama change the politics of balancing the budget?
Well, I think, you know, rather than protecting the wars from balanced budget battles here in the United States, he's put them front and center. So on the one hand, it leads to a more realistic debate over the wars and what the costs are for this country. And at the same time, in some ways, it protects the wars from political pressure, because it's very hard, again, for legislators to vote against funding for wars that are in progress.
Then why didn't George Bush's administration do that?
Well, the second strategy since the 60s has been just to hide the cost. And the idea is, if the public doesn't see the cost, they won't care about it as much. And it allows, you know, a Republican to spend a lot on two wars, but at the same time claim that the budget is under control. So it protects the wars in terms of that kind of debate, and at the same time it makes you look like less of a spender because those costs are hidden.
All right. Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton and editor of The Presidency of George W. Bush and author of the book Jimmy Carter. Both books came out this fall. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.